Samuel L. Bronkowitz presents...
Is your website purdy?
Mind your business!
Does it work right?
Mind your business!
Can people find it?
Say it! Say it!
Mind your business!
If you answered no, or kinda, to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to this week's Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design, and again, presented by you. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes and Stitcher. We really appreciate it. Thank you for following us on Pinterest. We appreciate that as well, and I always like to show my appreciation to Whiff Roasters in Lititz, Pennsylvania. Just a few blocks from my house, they fresh grind that coffee so good. It's my favorite, especially the coffee and chicory blend. Hey, this has nothing to do with business, has nothing to do with SEO, but I think you'll be interested. If you like wine, my wife and I were in upstate New York by Lake Ontario this past weekend, and on our way back, we stopped in the wonderful town of Naples, New York. We will definitely be going back there again. Well, we found this great winery called Red Cat Cellars, and if you're ever in that area, I highly recommend that you stop by there. Really nice wines. I liked everything about this place. Really nice wines, reasonable prices, and I really, really like the way they treat people. You feel welcome the moment you walk in there. You pay $5 for a 6-wine tasting, and they give you a poker chip. If you decide to buy a bottle of wine or a 4-pack of their really nice, nice cider, just give them the chip, and you get that $5 taken off the purchase price. Very, very fair. And hats off to them for having these little business cards with their logo and a web address for leaving them a review, something we can all learn from that. Take those opportunities. There's a card right up there on the, there are several business card holders up there on the countertop where they do the wine tastings, and you can grab one of those and it tells you, you know, where to go, you know, TripAdvisor or wherever, to leave them a review. Yeah, I really, really like this place, Red Cat Cellars, and they seem to be doing it right. I've had a few people tell me here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, that there are some of the restaurants here locally that serve Red Cat Cellars wine. So if you see it in there, if you're out and about, I definitely recommend you try it. It's some really good stuff. Now, we're coming up on the last quarter of the year, and it's time to start thinking about next year. Hard to believe, but 2016 is not too far away. My gears are always turning, and like SEO Speedwagon, I got to roll with the changes. But my gears are turning especially fast now because I'm looking into the old SEO crystal ball at the evolution of SEO over the next year, and I've got some good tips coming up for you here. Last week, we recapped some SEO factors that you should be obsessing over now. And that's stuff you probably should have been on, but we recapped it anyway because we are coming up on 2016. And I wanted to give you a few factors, some things you need to be shoring up for. So we did that last week. This week, from the home office in good old Lancaster, PA, here are the top 5 SEO factors that you should be preparing for in the new year. And you should start preparing now. Number 5, mobile search will most likely surpass desktop search. And I've got news for you. It already has. Very slightly, but mobile search has already overall overtaken desktop search. Is your website really mobile friendly? Doesn't matter what kind of company you are. You could be a company that sells farm toys. You could be a dentist. I don't care. You will be losing out on potential business if your website isn't mobile ready. There's no excuse for it anymore, and Google is making that loud and clear with their ranking penalty. Google has its mobile-friendly test that you can do free online, and I urge you to test your own site if you haven't already. It's really easy to find. Just go to Google and Google the phrase, Google mobile-friendly test. And in the words of the great philosopher's tag team, whoop, there it is. You can also bring your own website up on your own device and look objectively and rate your own mobile experience. And you should do that anyway. Your website should not merely look like a miniature version of your home page when you bring it up on your smartphone. Think about it. The text is too small to read. It's too hard to see, much less tap the right link on your site, et cetera, et cetera. Things need to be easy to read and need to be easy to tap. Things need to be big, ironically, on your small mobile device. What you need to see needs to be big. Now, I'm not intending to be a bad influence here, but it just, you know, the truth hurts sometimes. The real test for your mobile site is this. Could someone who is driving easily find quick info and directions while viewing your site through their smartphone? Hey, no one likes to talk about it. And yet, how many times do you see people on their phones when you pull up to a red light or a stop sign? I guarantee it's more often than any of us want to admit. We hate it when we see other people do it. And yet, many of us are guilty of it in our own impatient moments when we're supposed to have our eyes on the road. But I digress. The bottom line is, that's your audience, and that's what you need to be thinking about. Number four, voice search is on the rise. Now, what the hell does this have to do with SEO? Simple. Be simple, direct, and concise with your content on your website. I would argue, though, after listening to my teenager talk to Siri like she's real, and that's something I will never get used to. It creeps me out, but it is the future. I would argue that the opposite could indeed be true as well, creating an interesting dichotomy here, where on one hand, you want to be concise and efficient with your word use, and on the other hand, you also want to accommodate common questions someone might speak into their creepy mobile device, like, Siri, what's a good Asian restaurant in Baltimore? I mean, seriously, think in those terms. So be aware of the generic searches for your type of business, and also be aware of your frequently asked questions. There's a beautiful repository for you right there. Note to self, look at your FAQs and how those clients or prospects worded those questions, those cues, if you will. That's what you want to be paying attention to. Now, if you actually wrote the FAQs yourself, and I've seen businesses do this, several of us here at Mind used to work for a business that did that. If you write the FAQs yourself, then you're in a bit of a pickle here. But if you're using actual questions from your clients, phrased the way, or clients or prospects, and it's phrased the way they phrased it, then you're on to something there. Now, number three, structured data and direct answers continue to trend higher. Now, basically, when we talk about direct answers, that is Google trying to give you the most exact answer to your search query at the top of the search engine results page. Both the requirements and restrictions of mobile search have caused this part of the puzzle, this piece of the puzzle, to grow greatly in its importance. Now, the bad news is it's where Google's platform, where they say we built Google for users, not websites. Well, that comes into play in a negative way for businesses, because if you're a site with, say, shopping information about certain products, or you have a Yellow Pages listing, you now have Google itself as a direct competitor, as well as all of your other competitors. It stinks to high heaven, I know that. But it's important that you understand that Google's goal is the end user, and Google is becoming the largest single information repository in the history of man, and we're all happily feeding into it. Now, the good news for you, see, I'm always going to show you that there is light at the end of this tunnel as long as you're willing to look for it. The good news is that most searches can't be turned into a direct answer. So about 70% of the time, links to the information source are provided. So far, no major sites are reporting a downturn in traffic as a result of this. You know, your Amazon, your weather.com, sites like that. Now, that could change, but at least at this point, it hasn't been an issue. I want to take a moment to thank JeffBullis.com for some of the information I'm sharing with you here. They've had some great information highlighting mobile and voice search and the progression in that going into the new year. And got to give credit where credit's due. The best news for you with all this is that if you provide structured data for everything that you can on your website, you will be on the winning end of this. That's how some e-commerce sites get, you know, yellow stars, prices, and other good stuff in their listings on the SERPs. It's structured data. Structured data is simply a way of tagging the data in your web pages so that Google, Yahoo, Bing, all the search engines can more clearly understand what any given page is about. I'm going to use a Zimism from our own lead developer, David Zimmerman, to clarify this point because it's the best descriptive to simplify this concept. If you're a company that sells bats online, you actually need to clarify to the search engine bots that you sell baseball bats and not flying mammals. Sounds crazy, but it's true. There are some searches you don't want to show up in, and structured data not only helps with that, but it also helps you in the searches that you want to be found in. One thing to note, this is something you really, in 99% of cases, you can't do it for yourself. Consult with a professional. It's time consuming. Trust me, that's half the work that I do. You can try, but you'll find that you won't have time to actually run your business because it is time consuming to do it right. It is also vital, and you must be implementing it. Number four, my favorite, quality content remains king. I've been harping on this since 2007, friends. Seriously, before I really dove into and understood SEO, I recognized the importance of having a blog and making sure that your blog is on your website. 8 years later, and that is the one and only aspect of best SEO practices that really hasn't changed. Other than the fact that perhaps it's become more important and Google's paying more attention to it and trying to come up with more ways with their algorithm to determine what content is really honest and good, your website is your online storefront to show your wares, to show prospective customers and clients what you have for them and inform them about what you do, about why you do it, about what you can do for them. Your blog is your ongoing newsfeed. It's your ongoing information resource for your clients and prospect to earn trust with them and establish yourself as the expert. Your blog reinforces what you can do for your customers and why you're the best choice. Because of your heart for what you do, as well as your knowledge and expertise in your field. Do you care? Does your website show that you care? Enough said, really. Share your knowledge, period. I know there's a lot of rudimentary knowledge that people can find on other websites, and it may lull you into thinking that you don't need it on your website, but they need to find it on your website. They need to learn that you are a reliable resource for the information, and therefore, they learn that they can trust you. It starts at a distance, friends. You just got to accept it and adapt, and eventually you'll bring those people closer. And finally, number one, pictures, graphics, and video will continue to rise in importance. This is another one I've harped on for years. Original content includes original pictures and images, original infographics, and original video. In case you haven't figured this out yet, people are more likely to read your blog post and your website pages themselves if you have pictures on them. Some stock photos are okay, but I implore you to take pictures and use original images. They hold way, way more value with Google because Googlebot can see by reading the image data that it won't find that particular picture anywhere else on the internet, and that is important. Original videos are important too. Have you set up your YouTube channel yet? Have you properly connected it to your website so you can annotate your videos with backlinks back to your site? Are you posting new videos on your YouTube channel? If you answered no to any of those questions, do it now. Same goes for infographics. Google loves those. And along with original pictures and original video, They form the pink hearts, yellow moons, orange stars, and green clovers that will cause more people to digest the lucky charms of your online content. Does that make sense? Those are your five major SEO factors to be preparing for next year. So 2016, at the end of the day, 2016 will be the year of images. Pictures, immographics. I don't even know what that is, but I'll figure that out. I'll come up with a definition for it at some point. I think an immographic, I think it's a combination of immigration and graphics, so it must be a picture that comes in from another country. There you go. You just learned a new word today. You can tell everybody I created it. So with that, I don't know where that came from. I'll leave you to begin your own preparation, and I'll tease you with the effervescent funness that's coming your way on next week's podcast. We're going to have some fun next week. You're going to learn something too, but we're going to have a lot of fun. Our own lead designer, Chad Rock McComsey, returns, and we're going to do the first installment of our new Band Logos series. And we're going to get the Chad's opinion of the most recognizable and, in some cases, iconic band logos from the 1970s. Which ones are the most enduring? Which ones are the best from a design perspective? Which ones are just so 70s? This is going to be fun, friends. Thank you so much for listening to this Mind Your Business podcast presented by Mind Development and Design. We all hope you found this information helpful, empowering, and that you are getting more out of your online presence. If there's anything that you want to know more about that we haven't covered on the podcast, hey, hit us up. Facebook, comment on our podcast page, email us at info@minddnd.com, or click that wonderful Ask a Question button on the right side of our podcast page. Thank you again for listening on iTunes and Stitcher and for the interest on Pinterest. Looking forward to seeing you again next week. Take care.
From the minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.
The Samuel L. Bronkowitz Production.